A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to A History of Europe, Guy Battle's podcast. This is the Anglo-Dutch Wars of 1652 to 1674, part one of four. In previous episodes, a short time ago, I covered the English Civil War up to the trial and execution of King Charles I of England on the 30th of January 1649. In this set of episodes, I will continue with the story of the English, but focus on a series of conflicts they embarked on with their neighbour, the Dutch Republic. Three Anglo-Dutch Wars in all, from 1652 to 1674. The execution of Charles I began a unique period of history for England, an experiment of rule under a republic. Since the late Middle Ages, a number of city-states in northern Italy, notably Venice and Genoa, had been run as republics, as was the Swiss Confederacy. Two Russian cities with a powerful merchant class, Novgorod and Pskov, had also adopted a republican form of government in the 12th and 13th centuries, respectively, until conquered by Muscovy at the end of the 15th century. While in Italy the ideological basis for republicanism was provided by ancient Rome and classical writers, in northern Europe it was to be the Protestant Reformation. Calvinist theology, in particular, motivated republican thought in the Swiss Confederacy and also played an important role in the Netherlands. During the Dutch Revolt, beginning in the year 1566, the Dutch Republic rejected the rule of the Spanish Habsburgs. However, the country did not adopt the republican form of government immediately. At the time, it was still unthinkable among the vast majority of the population to be ruled by anyone other than a king or queen. The only question, if a monarch was deposed, was who would replace them. It took until 1588 before the Dutch Estates, the representative assembly at the time, decided to vest the sovereignty of the country in themselves. Apart from the few examples cited, it was assumed throughout Europe that monarchy was the natural order of governance, ordained no less by God. The monarchs themselves and the whole state hierarchy below them naturally portrayed republicanism as abhorrent and heretical. The execution of King Charles I of England on the 30th of January 1649 therefore horrified most rulers on the continent. The English Parliament moved swiftly to seek a mandate to govern the country. Known to history as the Rump Parliament, having been reduced to a core group of radicals, they abolished the monarchy and the House of Lords and assumed full sovereign powers with an elected Council of State as the executive. The new Commonwealth, as it was called, had mixed support. By many it was tolerated, as at least better than no government, but recognised for what it was, the political tool of the army leadership, with Oliver Cromwell at its head as Lord General. In August 1649, Cromwell led an army to Ireland. As described in a separate podcast available on the podcast's Patreon site, his victories at the eastern coastal towns of Drogheda and Wexford are notorious for the brutal treatment of the enemy. Although his actions were arguably consistent with the contemporary mores of war, they are viewed today with outrage in Ireland. In May 1650, Cromwell left Ireland where the putting down of the rebellion was completed by 1652. He was forced to return to the mainland because of troubles in the Kingdom of Scotland. In Edinburgh, the Parliament had acknowledged Charles I's son as King Charles II, who travelled on invitation to Scotland from the continent and was crowned in January 1651. The English Parliament regarded this as a hostile act, for Charles undoubtedly would attempt to gain the English throne. Cromwell entered Scotland in July 1650, but failed to take Edinburgh. The challenge to his invading army was formidable. In September, outmanoeuvred by the Scottish general David Leslie, it found itself boxed in at Dunbar, on the east coast of Edinburgh. If Cromwell had lost the ensuing battle, England would have been laid open to the Scots and the Commonwealth regime in real danger. Instead, Cromwell defeated the Scots, took Edinburgh, and subdued most of the Lowlands. However, during the winter of 1650-51, Charles II gathered an army and in the summer of 1651 slipped by Cromwell and entered England. He reached as far as Worcester, southwest of Birmingham, where the final battle of the Civil War took place, a resounding victory for Cromwell against the Scots and Royalists. Charles II then fled to France. As for Scotland, the absence of Leslie's army left no force in Scotland capable of giving battle to the Commonwealth army of General Monk. The city of Dundee was stormed and sacked on September the 1st. Other towns such as Montrose, Aberdeen and Inverness fell without a blow, and in 1652 English control reached as far as the islands of Orkney. Scottish resistance was pushed back to the Highlands of Scotland, which contained pockets of Royalist supporters. Combined with the region's traditional lawlessness, this was a source of irritation to the Council of State, who rightly feared that an insurrection could be launched from the remote hills and glens. Charles II was still tempted to use Scotland as a springboard for a bid to reclaim the throne of England. The policy of the Commonwealth towards Scotland resembled in its aim the policy towards Ireland, namely to make them into an integral part of a British Empire. But the actions taken were more moderate. There was no general confiscation of lands of the vanquished, only of those who had directly invaded England in 1648 and 1651. There was no imposition of a national religion, but the National Scottish Church lost a portion of its independence, was deprived of all power to check or control the civil government. The separate Scottish Parliament was ended and replaced by representation in the Parliament in Westminster. The new regime also needed to establish control over territories outside the mainland and Ireland, since Royalists held the Scilly Islands, Channel Islands and the Isle of Man, as well as most of the English possessions in the New World. Crucial to this task was the loyalty of the navy, and so in 1649 there took place a purge of navy commanders, replacing Royalist sympathisers with parliamentary commanders from the civil wars. At the same time, the Commonwealth began a steady programme of naval expansion. During the next 3 years, 20 new warships were built, and 25 others either purchased or added from captured prizes, almost doubling the size of the fleet. Also, some of the existing ships were renamed to match the new political leadership. As example, the ship Charles became Liberty and the Royal Prince renamed as Resolution. In March 1651, the Council of State decided to take action against the Isles of Scilly, an archipelago 25 miles or 40 kilometres off the southwestern tip of Cornwall, in England, whose royalist governor, Sir John Grenville, was using the islands as a base for privateering raids on the Commonwealth and Dutch shipping. The main commanders were Robert Blake and Sir George Askew. Robert Blake was a Member of Parliament who began his military career on the side of the Parliamentarians, despite having no substantial experience of military or naval matters. Often referred to as the father of the Royal Navy, Blake went on to become probably the Commonwealth's most respected admiral and was largely responsible for building the largest navy the country had ever known. He also produced the Navy's first ever set of rules and regulations, called the Laws of War and Ordinances of the Sea, the first version of which was passed by the House of Commons in the year 1649. The Commonwealth forces met stubborn resistance from the 1,000-strong Royalist force, but they were eventually overcome and the islands of Scilly retaken by late June. Blake's next target was the Channel Islands, which had been an important Royalist privateering base throughout the Civil War. The campaign began in September, and by December the main islands, Jersey and Guernsey, were recovered. Again, the islands were strongly defended, but thanks to Blake's skillful military and political handling of the situation, the Royalists' last remaining strongholds near the English coast were in Commonwealth hands. The Commonwealth also sent a navy to the Americas to gain control of English colonies there. The most important was the prosperous and relatively densely settled island of Barbados, which, if unsubdued, might provide a refuge for Royalist naval squadrons. By January 1652, Sir John Askew defeated resistance there, and the remaining territories of Virginia, Maryland, and Bermuda soon followed suit.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Commonwealth at first found itself politically isolated. Most rulers denounced the regicide republic, and even regimes such as the Dutch, which seemed natural allies, were wary of working with a regime whose durability was uncertain. France took an active interest in British affairs, not least because King Louis XIII's young sister, Henrietta Maria, had been married to Charles I. but in the 1640s the French were occupied with the Thirty Years' War. After the conclusion of the Congress of Westphalia, they were still at war with Spain. However, unlike the government of Spain, which recognised the new regime in England as early as 1650, the French refused to receive an ambassador from the Commonwealth and instead recognised Charles II as king. They also helped Prince Rupert, a nephew of Charles I, who fought for the Royalists in the English Civil War, to launch attacks on English shipping from their ports. In response, English warships attacked French ships in the Channel, the North Sea, and as far away as the Caribbean. There were also commercial tensions between the two countries. France placed an embargo on all imports of woolen and silk products, which hit English exports hard. In reply, the English placed a similar ban on imports from France. In 1648, a major series of revolts known as the Frondes broke out across France, and it was now the turn of the French chief minister, Jules Mazarin, to fear English intervention. He suspected that Puritan elements from England might urge the Protestants in France, the Huguenots, to rise again. Mazarin was equally concerned with war with Spain, which was going badly for the French, and after dragging on for several years, was bringing the government close to bankruptcy. The country, which at first seemed to Cromwell and his associates as their most natural ally, was the United Dutch Provinces. The two young Protestant republics had far more in common than they did with most other European states. But their similarities, instead of pulling them together, would end up pushing them towards war. One source of tension, which had existed for many years, were the complaints of English fishermen that Dutch ships took fish from waters they claimed as their own. This was only one part of a wider commercial rivalry. The seven provinces of the Dutch Republic had made themselves rich from the produce of the seas and the traffic of the oceanic highways. North Sea herrings, Arctic whales, West African slaves, the lucrative commerce of the Mediterranean, and most of all, the exotic goods from the East Indies. Dutch interest in long-distance trade began in 1595, when a small fleet made a voyage from Amsterdam to Asia, under the command of Cornelis de Houtman. His mission was the breaking of the Portuguese monopoly of European navigation in Asia. They sailed around Africa and visited various islands in Indonesia. The voyage was especially tough for the inexperienced Dutch. Out of the original 240 men crew, only 87 returned. But as a feat of navigation, it was a great success, and the survivors brought back a wealth of information. Within 5 years, 65 more Dutch ships had sailed east to trade, and soon the Dutch would fully take over the spice trade in and around the Indian Ocean. The first commercial trips were organised by separate companies, but in 1602 they were amalgamated into one Dutch East India Company. In Dutch, the Vereenigde Oost-Indische Company, abbreviated to VOC. The English equivalent, the East India Company, received its royal charter from Queen Elizabeth on the 31st of December 1600, but in the first half of the century was far behind the Portuguese or Dutch. While the East India Company was vulnerable to the English Crown's vacillating policy regarding Asian trade, the control of the VOC was more dispersed, so less reliant on any one individual. By widely issuing bonds and shares of stock to the general public, the VOC is often credited with being the world's first formally listed public company. Rivalry between the English and Dutch came to a head in the early 1620s in two separate massacres. In 1621, the VOC conquered the island of Banda, part of the Malacca Islands, or the Moluccas in Indonesia. As a reprisal for what they saw as illegal trading with rivals, the majority of the inhabitants were killed or enslaved by the Dutch. Then 2 years later, the VOC's governor of Ambon, an important island in the Moluccas, arrested the 10 East India Company employees on the island. After having them tortured, they were executed by beheading them on the charge of conspiring to seize the VOC's fort. Such brutal tactics were successful in underpinning the VOC's control of fine spices. Nevertheless, the so-called Ambiona massacre would haunt the relations between the Dutch and English for the remainder of the century. In fact, it would become a staple of anti-Dutch propaganda in England during the later wars. As regards matters on the continent of Europe, the Dutch Republic consisted of 7 provinces, which had gained de facto independence from Spain. From the 1620s to 1640s, its fortunes were tied to events in the Thirty Years' War. When France intervened in 1635, they concluded a formal alliance with the Dutch. By that time, the Republic's ruler, Frederick Hendrik, whose title was Stadtholder, had successfully led resistance against the Spanish. His capture of the town of Maastricht in 1632 pushed the boundaries of the Republic to the south. Frederick Hendrik did not quite live long enough to see the Peace of Westphalia concluded, whereby Spain formally recognised the Republic. Although the Dutch could regard themselves as victors, Westphalia also confirmed the retention by the Spanish of the more southern Low Countries. The Spanish Netherlands comprised most of the modern states of Belgium and Luxembourg, as well as parts of northern France, southern Netherlands, and western Germany, with the capital being Brussels. In the 1630s, English merchants had been able to take advantage of Dutch preoccupation in the Thirty Years' War, but their position was substantially reversed in the 1640s because of the English Civil War. Especially from 1648, after the Peace of Westphalia, the Dutch steadily ate into England's share of the carrying trade, that is, the transportation of goods of other countries. The most profitable of these goods were spices, whaling products, gold, silks, and sugar. The Dutch took another large chunk of the carrying trade in the Baltic from 1649, after they negotiated with Denmark a discount on the sound tolls, which shipping entering the Baltic had to pay to the Danes. Dutch commercial agreements with Spain struck another serious blow to the English carrying trade with Spanish possessions and in the Mediterranean. The first of the 3 Anglo-Dutch Wars of the 17th century began in 1652, the topic of next week's podcast. Thank you for listening to A History of Europe, Key Battles. I hope you can join me next time for the outbreak of the Anglo-Dutch Wars. The music from today is by an Italian-born French composer called Jean-Baptiste Lully, who was working in the court of Louis XIV of France. The specific piece is the music of a comic play written by Jean-Baptiste Morier called Le Bourgeois Gentilhomme, or The Bourgeois Gentleman. It satirises attempts at social climbing and the bourgeois personality, poking fun both at the vulgar, pretentious middle class and the vain, snobbish aristocracy. I'll leave you with the opening piece of the play, the overture. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.